Matthew chapter 7. Keep on asking, and you're going to receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking, and you will find. Keep on knocking, and the door will be opened to you. Key on these three phrases. Keep on asking. Keep on seeking. Keep on knocking. For everyone who asks, receive. Everyone who seeks, finds. And to everyone who knocks, the door will be open. Next place. Go ahead and go to the next one. We're not going to read that. Luke 18, 1 through 8. One day Jesus told his disciples a story to show that they should always pray and never give up. There was a judge in a certain city, he said, who neither feared God nor cared about people. A widow of that city came to him repeatedly saying, "Give me justice in this dispute with my enemy." The judge ignored her for a while, but he finally said to himself, "I don't fear God or care about people." That's a hardcore judge. "I don't care about your God. But this woman is driving me crazy. I'm going to see that she gets justice because she's wearing me out with her constant requests." Next one down. Then the Lord said, "Learn a lesson from this unjust judge. Even he rendered a just decision in the end. So don't you think God will surely give justice to his chosen people who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will grant justice to them quickly. But when the Son of Man returns, how many will he find on earth? On the earth who have faith?" Powerful scriptures. Cutting scriptures. You see, sometimes we go to church and we get built up. Woo! I'm excited about Jesus. Other times we come to church and we get kind of cut on. We get kind of cut down a little bit. Tonight is going to be a little of both. It's uplifting, but it's kind of cutting at the same time. It's a little bit of both. Tonight, I want to talk to you about chasing after God. I was in worship today, and I don't know what worship was like for you, but God really touched me while we were worshiping. I really, just something just come into me, and the Spirit of God was all over that place. And I looked around, and that's why when I come up on the stage, and you notice I look in each one of your faces so I can see what God's doing in your heart, or lack of. I'll look at you, and I'll see what's going on in your hearts. Not like spider sense or anything, but I can. It's clearly apparent if you're worshiping God or not. And I sat there and I looked out across, and there was this just somber peace. It was like God's presence was everywhere, but it was, I don't know, it wasn't like a shouting, like, "Woo!" kind of thing. It was just, I don't know, it was impactful. Peace. It was just, I don't know. And I got thinking, and I really felt like God speak this to me. How many times in the church do we say, "I believe"? I believe. Well, I believe. I believe. I'm not going to say "I believe" anymore. Tonight I decided to abolish "I believe" from my vocabulary. From now on, I'm not going to say "I believe in Jesus Christ." No, I know Jesus Christ is Lord. "I believe God is real." No, I know God is real. "I believe in miracles." No, I know miracles are real because I've seen them, guys. I've seen deaf ears open, blind eyes open. I've seen little crippled legs straighten up and start walking. I've seen cancers leave people. Bones broken, straightened out right in front of my eyes. Don't you tell me God isn't real because I know He's real. And so tonight when I speak to you, I look around the room and I know pretty much a good little bit about each one of your lives. So I can speak in a different manner tonight. I can speak right to you. I'm speaking to Christians tonight. I'm speaking to those who so many times, and I will testify to you that it is hard for me sometimes. I don't know about you, but I will get excited about God's presence. I am excited about who God is right now. The world's looking for a Christian not to talk about ideas and things they know. The world's looking for a Christian to tell them about truth and to tell them about what's happening in their life and how God is moving. I'm sick and tired of the only Jesus we see in this nation of being the guy going like this. Or him on a cross. My Jesus got off a cross. I don't wear crosses because of that. "You're not a Christian." No, I'm biblical. Yes, this is important. I put this here so you will see it and think of his sacrifice. But he got off that cross. You know what happened when he got off that cross? He died and he rose again and he's still alive to this day, sitting at the right hand of God, making intercession for you night and day. Do you know Jesus is praying for you? He prayed for you in John chapter 17. He prayed for the disciples and those who would believe. He prayed for you in John 17. Jesus prayed for me. Yes, he did. It's in the Bible. It's very clear. He's still praying for you right now, though. He's still making intercession constantly. Jesus loves you, and he is the realest thing you will ever experience. I heard an amazing illustration of God's realness. And I'm speaking these words to set the context for what I'm about to say. It will not be long. Billy Graham, great man, said these words. You can neither see nor touch the wind, but you can feel its presence. And you know it's real because you feel it. But you can't touch it. And you can't see it. So God is real to you. Though you may not see his face, one day you will. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 12 in the King James Version, "For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. For then we shall see where we are now seeing." What does that mean? If I were to hold a Coke bottle, an old one, I could kind of see what's on the other side of that. And you see, when you're here on this earth, that's how we see God. We can't see him, but we recognize that he's real. We see traits, we see miracles, we see his presence, but we can see through a glass darkly. What does that scripture say? But then face to face, guys, heaven is real. And if you believe in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and you profess him, you will enter the gates of heaven and you will see him as he sees you right now for eternity. Used to, as a Christian, I would be quoted saying, "I don't want to die, I want to live to be 100, and I still want to live to be 100. I'm having a December 22nd party, 2012. You want to join me for that? Completely off topic. World's not ending December 21st, 2012. Some foolish Christian put that on the Facebook a while ago. It made me puke in my mouth. The Bible says no man knows the day or the hour. No date can ever be predicted about Christ's return. Putting that out there for free. May 21st. Yeah, I heard the aliens were coming back.
I'm really excited. Sure. It would be hilarious if Jesus comes back the day before. Really?
Do what?
Like, it would be hilarious if Jesus comes back the day before.
No, the day after.
That would be epic.
Yeah.
I mean, it would be like a smite in the world's face, but we're going to go on from that. I don't think the world's ending in 2012 at all. But once again, it's no man's job to interpret the signs and the times. But we are living in a fun world right now. So why did I say these things to you? Because I want to tell you that God is real. Because I want to tell you that he's tangible. I can feel him right now with me. You see, the amazing thing about God is there's three parts to God, three unique characters. What is it? The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You want to know how they work? You have God above. You have Christ, the Emmanuel, who walks beside. Jesus doesn't live in your heart. We give him our heart. We don't ask him. I know what we said in Vacation Bible School. It's wrong. No, it's whatever. Jesus is the Emmanuel. Lo, I'm with you always. No, not lo, I'm in your heart always. No, I'm with you always. So you've got God above, Jesus beside. The Holy Spirit is the one who fills you. The Holy Spirit is the one who indwells you. You've got God in, you've got God beside you. You've got God above, you've got God below, you've got God all around. If you would just open up your eyes, not your physical eyes, your spiritual eyes, and recognize the knock upon your door, the Bible says, "Lo, I stand at the door and knock. And any man who would open the door unto me, I would come inside and share a meal with him." Jesus is wanting to come share a meal with you. You've got to recognize his realness, and he's going to come home and stay with you. Tonight, I'm going to talk, though, for 5 minutes. You've got to follow with me. About being a generation of pursuit. Here it goes. Last night I preached the gospel. What was it? 1 minute, 30 seconds.
Yeah.
Guys, you can preach the gospel in a minute, 2 minutes. I say 2 minutes is a good time to preach the gospel. You can do it.
What?
You need to preach the gospel in 2 minutes in your school. Kids need to be saved and they're a Christian. Just putting that out there.
It's true though.
I had a teacher talking to me about that actually there. I love your teachers, by the way. But tonight, 5 minutes. So this God that I speak of is real. Do you, I'm not asking you to respond to me, but do you believe he's real? Do you believe he's true? Do you believe he's real and present in your existence? If you do you know what he asks of you? Mark 12:30. Does anyone know this off the top of their head? Mark 12:30. For you must love the Lord thy God. Come on, louder, come on, come on. Say that for me.
Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength.
You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. Guys, I've got news for you. God has commanded you to give Him your everything with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. And if you can find another area that those don't encompass, I would probably question you. Your entire existence, all of your feelings, all your thoughts, all your strength, everything in you towards Him. That's what God asks of you. And my question is, have you hit that mark? Have you gave Him your everything? And you know what God asks of you? He asks of you these things. Go back up, John, to the keep on. I want you to say three things with me. Up, one more. One more. Keep on asking. Say it with me. Keep on asking. One more time. Keep on asking. Number two, say this with me. Keep on seeking. One more time. Keep on seeking. Then the third one down there, what does it say? Keep on knocking. One more time. Keep on knocking. Three things for you, right there. Keep on asking. Keep on seeking. Keep on knocking. God is looking for a generation today to stand up and say, I'm not going to be lukewarm anymore. I'm not going to be a hypocrite. Christians aren't going to be designated in my nation anymore by hypocrisy. No, they're going to be designated because they seek, because they ask, because they knock. And because when they seek things, they get them. And because when they ask and pray to God, their prayers are answered. And when they knock, magically doors just come open so ministry can go forth. That is what will change this nation. And I'm tired of people talking about how the end is over. There's no hope in sight. Well, guess what? When things are dark, it's a great opportunity for a light to be shown. Great light can never be seen unless great darkness is present. God's about to blow into this world and set revival on fire. Because there's got to be the revival before the coming. Read your word. Every tribe has got to be reached. That's happening quicker and quicker. Guys, God is wanting to do something. There's been rumblings across this county of revival and awakening in every school. Hadn't heard of Heritage yet. That's the only one left waiting. Raymond, where's he at? Raymond, we're counting on him. Everybody needs to look at, walk up to Raymond tonight and say, Raymond, be the revival in Heritage High School. Okay, here we go, really quick. Keep on asking. God's looking for you to pursue Him. He's looking for you to seek of Him, guys. Sometimes when you pray, when you go, God, answer this prayer, boom. I read that scripture that said that unjust judge gave her justice not because he loved God, not because he feared God, because he got tired of listening to her. And so how much more when you are persistent in your prayers towards God are they going to be answered? Prayers get answered when you get on your face and cry out day and night. You need to keep on praying. You need to keep on seeking. You need to keep on knocking. You need to be a person of prayer if you call yourself a Christian. Let's keep on praying. So many times is a prayer, God, give me. Oh, help this. See you later. No, God is interested when the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous person avails much. That's what the Bible says. What does that mean in our language? The powerful, forceful, emotional, driven prayer of a righteous person, a Christian, that prayer avails much. Not weak, short, give me prayer. Keep on praying. Keep on asking. Number two, keep on seeking. What should you keep on seeking? His presence. In every single day, in every way, in every breath, you should seek more of God's presence. God's presence does not reside in a church. No music player, no preacher can incite God's presence. No person can initiate His presence. His presence is everywhere. And we've been lied to by Satan and been told that God's presence is only in these certain places. No, it's everywhere. The question is, are you going to choose to seek His presence? Because if you seek His presence, worship will happen when you're in a bus. If you seek His presence, worship will happen when you're on a plane. Worship will happen when you're in a cave. Worship will happen when you're sitting at your lunch table. Worship will happen in the church and services. We need to keep on seeking Him in every single part of our lives. And if you seek Him, what does it say? You will find Him. Draw close to God and He will draw close to you. Number three, keep on knocking. What is the representation of this door? I've been praying about this all day. Lord, I don't know what it means, the door. And I think he spoke something. Now, I think, I know. Remember, we don't think, we don't believe. I know. Get it? I know he said something to me on this. I was in worship. I said, God, I still don't have point three. Guys, I don't have it together. None of us have it together. We're all imperfect people serving a perfect and loving God. Keep on knocking. Keep on. What is the door being open represented? When you open up a door to somewhere, a new area has been opened to you, correct? A place has been opened and made accessible to you. Now, just because the door comes open doesn't mean you walk in it. That's your prerogative. Keep on knocking, guys. So what should you do? Keep on praying. Keep on seeking His presence. You should keep on knocking and asking God to open up doors for you to minister. We hear that a lot in the church. Open doors, closed doors, open doors, closed doors. Because the Bible is very figurative about this language. What should you do tonight as a God seeker, as a God lover, as someone who knows God is real, as someone who wants to follow this Bible? Guys, these aren't beleaguering commandments. They're words of freedom. Living for Him is freedom. Living for ourselves is bondage. We should keep on knocking. And what does the knock represent? A knock means, God, open up doors for me. Lexi, this group, open door for you. Carpenters. He told me they want me to speak at Carpenters. I looked at him in the office. I think I kind of blew your mind by it. But I said, you doing this has a lot more to do with just you. This is an open door by God into a previously untouched school. Thank you for your obedience to God wanting to use you. Open doors are coming open. Open doors are coming open. Doors are coming open. Tonight, keep on knocking and seeking God to open up doors of ministry. I've been talking about this a lot lately, guys. God has a call for you. He has a place for you. He has a calling specifically on your life. God, show me. And you know what God's going to do? Lord, use me. God doesn't want you to sit and snore. He wants you to stand and go. Go ye therefore into all the world, making disciples of all men, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Guys, we should keep on asking. Keep on praying. We should keep on seeking. Keep on seeking the presence of God. And we should keep on knocking, saying, God, give me places I can go into and speak your word. Let's stand up and let's go home.